Awesome. Good morning, church. How are you guys doing this morning? Good, good, good. Hello, Hall 7. Let's pray, and then we're going to get right into it. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for your kindness and your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done and you are doing in our lives. And Lord, we just want to come to you as a congregation this morning, just asking for help, asking you to meet with us, asking you to reveal yourself to us. Lord, I thank you that nobody here is by coincidence, even if they think they are. God, I pray that you will reveal your love, your power, the fullness of who you are to them. Lord, we present all of our heart, all of our worries, our pain, our distraction, our sin, everything, we lay it before you. And God, we say you are holy, you are good, we need you, Lord. So come and do all that you so desire to do. We welcome you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. This morning, and today is the, what, of June? It's the 2nd of June, halfway mark, kind of halfway mark of the year. Wow, fast. I've titled the message, You Are Not the Main Event. For the younger gen, we call this thing called main character energy. And basically, there are people on this earth, and even in this congregation, and people you may know, if not look in the mirror, where we think we are the main character, and we walk around like the main character, like we are the center of the universe, or we are the center of our own lives even. And as you hear this, you go, Isaac, not me. Do you not hear me sing, holy forever? I know I am not the main event. But the truth is, if we inspect our lives a little bit more, I think there are a lot of times we may discover that we actually treat life or we believe we're the main event or the center of the universe. Now, if you're a non-Christian, that's fair and fine. You are the center of your story. You are trying to build your life. You are trying to chase the achievement or accolades or whatever success is defined for you. You're trying to build that family. You're trying to build that legacy. You're trying to be impactful, and that's okay. But for us as believers, when we come to the Lord and says, Lord, I give you all of my heart, all of my life, all of myself, and we say we are followers of him, and we say, Lord, we are saying we are no longer the center of the story. He is the center of the story. He is the center of the universe. All things happen because of him. All things will happen because of him. And we live our lives no longer for ourselves, but all for him. And you might go, Isaac, we already know this. Why do we need to keep talking about it? Because the truth of the matter is, in living life, we will often find ourselves misaligned and coming away from what we declare and proclaim and we say about who God is. You know, we can say that I acknowledge a father, or I acknowledge a leader, or I acknowledge that there is a king, but our lives may not live in a manner in submission to the father, in submission to the king, in submission to the leader, in submission to the shepherd. And so mere acknowledgement is not enough. It is not enough to just say, I know he is the king. I know he is a father. I know Lawrence Wong is the PM. It is one thing to acknowledge, and it's another thing to give your life in submission to the authority that you have acknowledged. And all of us need to ask this question about ourselves. While we acknowledge him as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, name above all names, do we live our lives in a manner that truly is in submission to him? And as we hear this, I know for Asians, every time we hear someone correct us or remind us, we feel immediately, quickly ashamed. You go, aiyah, I failed lah. See lah, I'm such a lousy Christian. And the thing about correction is, if I catch you on a good day where you're feeling like good and secure, you go, all right, Lord, I'm ready to lay down my life. But if today you're not feeling good, you go, aiyah, Isaac, this Christian life, cannot do this, can do that, this one, that one, aiyah, forget it lah, you're very good, come, I clap for you. I will just sit here and do my own thing. But when God says all these things, he doesn't say it from a point of like, aiyah, you are lousy. He says it with a father's heart. And he says it to all of us that I do not want you to miss the point of what you have declared. I do not want you to miss the point of what is the foundation of all of life. What is the way, the truth, and the life? And he desires that so much of us that he gives us the Holy Spirit and says, I will come and convict you and guide you that you do not forget that he is the center and the story of our lives. If we look a little bit deeper in our life, we will see how a lot of times, while on Sundays we may sing, God, we honor you, actually in different parts, in the cracks, in the seen and the unseen, we see fruits of a life that actually lives as we are the center of it. Whether in our work, our mind, our hearts, our ministries, it's laden with human ambition, competition, anger, hate, selfishness, gossip, pride, laziness, indifference, disobedience. And we know that this is the result of sin. And sin is not this mysterious black dot that all of a sudden appeared in your heart one day. I don't know how. All of a sudden, I am evil. Sin is turning away from God. It's rebelling against Him. And so then He calls us to repent and to come back to Him. When we repent and we say, God, we need You. God, wash me clean. Lord, I return to You. You're not saying, help me to remove this weird black dot. Only Your blood, the red color, right, is so strong, right, it will take away the black, then I will become white. That's not it. Repentance is to return. Sin is turning away from Him. And so in all of our lives, we might find ourselves continuously sinning as we wrestle to say, Lord, I do not want to do that. And it's not how this black dot continuously appears mysteriously, but it's us always disobeying or turning or rebelling and not following the Word of God or how He has called us to live. And so daily we come to Him and says, Lord, help me to not live in disobedience, but to turn my face towards You, to look to You so that I live in a manner that You have called me to live, that You are the center story. And if we look hard in our lives, I think there are multiple times that we see ourselves as the main character or behave in a manner where He is not the main event. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returned. God sees what we really desire in our hearts. God knows. All of us in this room and in Hall 7, the Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows what we truly desire in our heart. And He desires to call it forth and help us to return to Him and to live fully and wholeheartedly for Him. The Lord knows our heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we go to Him and says, Lord, help me to not miss the point. Help me to behold You and help me to be transformed that I know I am not the main event. For new people in this room today, and maybe you're not a believer, when we say that we love the Lord and we give our lives to Him, we say we are no longer the cornerstone. We're no longer the firm foundation. All of life doesn't happen and depend on me, though I have to take responsibility. All of life, central of all things, even my own life, is Him and only Him. And He is the firmest foundation, and He cannot and will not be shaken. And so we remove ourselves from the center of the story, we put Him there so that as life happens, where there are storms and calamities and disappointment, we watch how we may feel it on our skin, but our foundation does not shake. That in the past, if we put it on friendships or relationships or ourselves or things or money or wealth or power, these things shake, but the firm foundation, which is Jesus, our cornerstone, does not shake. And now we begin to build everything upon Him. And we will spend all the rest of our lives ensuring that everything comes into alignment to what we have decided, declared, and chosen to live. And it's hard. It's hard. Especially when you're someone that has momentum. Especially when you're someone that you've got that firm foundation and things begin to build. It's so easy to forget and begin to not live life while acknowledging that He is the main event and He is our all. We live in a life that does not follow suit. The main event does not always look like, I think I'm more important. Does not always look like pride. Main event can even look like,
I have too much hurt to forgive. I have too much disappointment to forgive. I have too much pain to receive God's love. I have too much desire for pleasure to bring it to submission and for Him to truly be the desire of my heart. The main event doesn't just look about achievements and accolade and success. The main event is also for those of us in deep, incredible pain or loss and unwilling to submit and says, Lord, I give this to you fully. When we receive Him in our hearts, we says, Lord, I devote my entire life to you. I will spend my life knowing you, to be known by you, and this is my desire to make you known. A couple of weeks ago, I shared from Luke chapter 18, verse 18, about the rich official. And how about this man came to the Lord and says, Lord, what is it? How do I gain eternal life? What would it be required of me? And the Lord says, you have to obey all your commandments, different things. And he says, I've done that. And then find the Lord says, then you need to sell all of your possessions, sell all of it, and then come and follow me. And then he was disheartened. And the Lord is reminding us that it's not that he doesn't want you to have any success. Do you know that the Lord enjoys that you are successful? He really enjoys it when you live life to the fullest. He doesn't frown upon wealth. He does not frown upon you gaining stature. He does not frown on the fact that you have influence. He does not frown on the fact that you enjoy life. He likes and he enjoys that you are living life to the full. But the question is, in all of the success and achievements and accolades, should he call for it? And should it be removed from you for whatever reason and circumstance? Do you all of a sudden shake and you even hate God, or you have a disdain towards him? Because then in those moments, we must be careful to watch and see if we've become the central story and figure of our lives. And for some of us, as you hear the word, you are not the main event, it sounds disheartening. Actually, it's incredibly freeing. It's incredibly freeing that the entire universe doesn't rest on you or not even your own life. It's incredibly freeing that there is a God who is perfect, has a perfect track record, that holds things all together. And he says, this is the original design. If you do not want to sin anymore, which is to turn away from God, then the answer is to return to him, to make him the center of the story, to worship and love him forever. And that's where there is true freedom, joy, purpose, and heart. For those of us who visit churches and all that, you'd be mistaken if you think that what holds us and keeps us Christians, though sometimes it does feel like that, is how comfortable the seats are, how brilliant the aircon is, how anointed the worship leader is, and how powerful the preachers, how powerful the preacher preaches, whether he shouts or not. But what that's not what keeps us together. Maybe that's what holds a Sunday service together. But what keeps us and what gives us peace is that we have discovered what the way, the truth, and the life is all about, that he is center and in all of it. And so we say, Lord, have your way. We give ourselves completely to you. And it's impossible for us to surrender unless he becomes the object of our worship. Not ourselves, not anyone else, but he is the object of our worship. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Three things quickly I want to remind us as we go about our everyday of ensuring that kind of not to lose the point and not to be the main event, and remember to keep him as the central story. The first thing I think we all can do daily is to behold his love. To behold his love and to remember his love. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And a lot of us know this verse. It's a familiar verse. We recognize this verse. And maybe at the point of our salvation, the first time we saw this verse, we go, what an incredible God. You know, I'm such a sinner. I'm such a bad person. Wow, but Lord, you love me. Thank you. I'm so grateful. And that's cool and great. And as we read this verse and as we grow older, we begin to understand even more how much this love really is. And it's not so much about, he loves me, I'm a bad person, you know, I will try to be better. It's really about, wow, God's love is so great and grand that even while I was an enemy, He reached out, He loved me, He sent His Son to die on the cross for me. And beholding His love will humble us. Beholding His love will remind us of the God we've come into authority, we've come into submission to. Luke chapter 6, verse 32 says this, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the grateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." We have a God that while we were still enemies, He loves us so deeply. And then He calls us to love in that same measure. And doing this life is going to be incredibly hard, and doing and pursuing the things of God and what God desires of us is so incredibly hard if we are at the center of the story, but only on Sundays, He is the King and the Lord of our lives. How do we love our enemies? How do we wake up on Monday and go through all the way to Saturday, dealing with all kinds of peoples, all kinds of issues, and even ourselves, and not live in a manner that we think of ourselves too highly? We have to behold His love daily. And that's why the Lord says, meditate on the Word of God day and night. Day and night, meditate on the Word of God. There is true freedom when we know the truth and we allow ourselves to sink into that truth and really live out that truth. The second thing quickly is, behold His love. Second thing is to be a donkey. You heard me right? Be a donkey. When you hear the word donkey, it doesn't sound anything very magnificent. And because for movies like Shrek, we now think that the donkey is really ugly and his voice doesn't sound very nice. But the donkey actually in the past was not such an undignified animal. In fact, the donkey was what the king rode on to enter a city. And of course, we know this, we read this in the Word of God, how Jesus rode on the donkey. Matthew chapter 21 says this, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and He will send them right away.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. 'Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" Zechariah 9 says this, "Behold, O Jerusalem of Zion, the king comes unto you, meek and lowly, riding upon a donkey." It is important for all of us to remember we are called to be donkeys. We are called to bring and to carry the King and to showcase Him and to glorify and worship Him, that people will see Him. We may all maybe low-key desire to be a horse and to look strong and powerful and mighty, but what the charge is for all of us is to be that donkey that says, "Lord, I want to carry you. I want to carry the dream of your heart, and I want you to take the center stage." And sometimes we forget that, especially if you are a seasoned Christian. If you're a long-time Christian for a long time in ministry especially, it's sometimes so easy to forget that you're the donkey. Because after a while, if you're really anointed and you can really carry the King in, or you're a really gifted businessman and you've got successes and you appear on Salt of Light and says, "Yes, thank the Lord, Abba Father." Sometimes we forget, and then we hold conferences called, "Let me teach you how to be the perfect donkey." And we miss the point. Or sometimes the Lord has already moved on to other agendas, but we've loved the ability to be so good and incredible and efficient in something that we still stay there and we go, hey, look at my hooves. Look how awesome is it. Do you see the way I walked in and the way I let the presence of God in? Do you see the way I preach and wow, people were turned around? Do you see how I did business and did it? And all that is good and the Lord celebrates with you, but it's so easy because of our sinful nature to miss the point again and begin to take a position that we're not supposed to take, and then we become center of the story. And the fastest way to see that when you're the center of the story is look at the inner parts of your life. Don't look at just what is on the outward ministry and the successes you've created and the businesses and the families and all these things, but look deep within and says, Lord, have I missed the point? Have I become a person that's angry? Have I become a person that's selfish? Have I become a person that's arrogant? Have I an offended heart? And one of the fastest ways to know when sometimes we are the center of a story is if we have an offended heart. We're offended by everything. We're offended by disrespect. We're offended by different things that's happened in our life, and we're even offended with God. And it's easy to be offended when you're the center of the story and you have to hold all things together and you feel entitled that everything must happen in order. And even the Lord, you owe me this. Lord, have you not seen me serve? Lord, have you not seen me sacrifice? You owe me this. And that's when the donkey stops being a donkey. And once again, that's not a low thing, but it is an honor to be able to walk with him, to love him, to submit to him, to trust him. And in fact, the Lord calls us sheep. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I will lead, I will guide, I will walk with you. And the last thing for us to do daily, to behold his love, to be a donkey, to be humble, is to be faithful. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Be a person that pursues just being faithful. Every time I read this verse, I'm reminded daily of how much I need him. If I just go through my LinkedIn profile, if I just go in all of my accolades, it's so easy to think, maybe I have accomplished something. And sure, we celebrate those things. But when I read verses like that, I go, Lord, I seriously am the clay and you are the potter. I need you to refine me and shape me every single day. Shape me every single day when it comes to love, when it comes to joy, when it comes to peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we sing this song, it's an old hymn. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let us not confuse what the story is about. Not just from our lips, but in our hearts. Let us not confuse what the story is truly about. And for us as Christians who are called to show and bring the light, let us not just pass on to next generations wealth, strategies, methodologies, how to run church, how to start a church, how to do ministry well, how to look this way, how to sound this part. Let us pass down and pass on and pass around the story that truly, fully transforms, the story that is supposed to be the firm foundation, that which is him. I was in Japan a while ago, and I remember I was at this area where there were monkeys and different stuff, but it was looking over the whole city of Kyoto. And I was looking across the whole city of Kyoto. I was just praying, and I just thought, Lord, how do we win a city? How do we truly reach a city? It feels like completely impossible. We do our Sunday things, and we do like conferences, and we do a bunch of things, and we do businesses. But Lord, it seems like we're not making any headway sometimes into culture, into society. And it's not about like, yeah, we want influence for the sake of influence. Oh, we want to be the leading voice. Like, what's the point of power, platform, implication, influence, if I don't bring the most authentic thing that we think is of all things and makes sense of all things, a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And so I just go, Lord, how do we exactly win a city? And I was praying the Lord spoke to me about a couple of things. And one of the things that he really spoke about was saying, Isaac, I have a church that is beautiful. I have a church that I've given voices, influence, authority, but so often distracted individually. And I'm not talking like as an organization, while there are distractions within the organization, but we as the church and the body of Christ, so easily distracted because of fear, because of sin, because of anger, or whatever it may be for you. And that's why the Lord continues to pursue us. And he says, don't miss the point, my children. Behold me. Know what you are saying and what you've decided to do. What you have believed and what you have said that you will live a life that you desire to, that you have committed to living. And as we do that day by day, the presence of God, the truth of God will permeate and will continue to spread and be a blessing to all. And the most beautiful thing about all of it is this, that we will enjoy the fruit of this truth, that there is incredible peace and there is incredible freedom as we love him wholeheartedly and fully. Has the band disappeared? Oh, hello. This morning, I really wanted to share a message that we could just go back and really think about and reflect a little bit upon. And maybe even this morning to just commit to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to simply put you at the center of it all. And maybe for us, some of us, we can maybe inspect a little bit more to ask, are there areas in our lives that he's not the center of the universe? Are there areas in our lives that he's not the center of our life? And in those areas, what does it mean to begin to put those things right in alignment with him and with him being right at the center? That as we look back, we will go, Lord, I have tried and I live my life in the best way possible to keep you at the center, to put you, the Lord of all things, to put you in the first place. And Lord, would you guard my heart? Would you guard my heart? Especially for us in Singapore, it's very easy because we are people that really learn the art of doing more than being. It's a thing we just grew up in. You gotta do, you gotta be successful, you gotta work it out, you gotta da 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 da. And we are the people that really is so susceptible to becoming the main event. And we need to be a people that says, Lord, help me, please, as I do all the things that I have to do and I busy myself with all the things that I have to busy, I will not forget what I said and the kind of life I've decided to live. We just close your eyes. Yes, Lord. We're just going to sing this simple song, and with it, would you make that the prayer of your heart?
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Sing. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. We sing, nothing else matters. And nothing else matters.
As I was praying for service this week, every day the Lord would show me a picture of empty hands, and the Lord would keep bringing me the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and He kept repeating over and over and over and over. And I said, Lord, what is it about this that You want me to share? Even as we were singing, the Lord just gave me a little bit of a word. And there are some of us this morning that you look at your life and you feel completely cheated. You look at your life and you look at other people's lives and you feel, Lord, You have not been fair. You look at your life and you continuously count about how there's not enough and there's not enough. There just isn't enough. I am not enough. My circumstances are not enough. And the Lord this morning, I just feel, wants to remind you and says to you, first of all, before you look and count the cost and take stock of what's in your hands, would you remember and take stock of who is in your life and who I am to you? Because if you do not take stock of that and you do not recognize that, then whatever I place in your hands would always be insufficient and it will always be not enough. And you will find no joy from looking within your hands. But the Lord says this morning, would you call me and would you say that I am the center of your life? And if you would, don't even talk about the multiplication of what I would do in your hands. You will begin to see that what I have given and what I am doing and what I have done in your life, it is more than enough. And there are some people here and in Hall 7, you just feel this sense of heaviness. You just feel this sense of lack and loss. You just feel like God hasn't been fair and God hasn't been kind, and you just feel that it hasn't been enough. And this morning the Lord says, would you surrender yourself to me? Would you trust me with your life? Don't just trust me with the things of your life. Would you trust me with your life and declare that I am the center of it all and that I hold all things together? And joy and peace and hope and freedom will arise again, because what you need is truth and life, not any more possession. If that's you this morning, whether in Hall 7 or here, we're just going to sing that song one more time. And if that's you, I just want you to lift your hands forward just as an act of surrender and say, Lord, from my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center.
From my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about You.
This is all about
from my heart, from my
This morning we say, God, you are more than enough. Lord, I pray for my friends here, especially the ones who feel, Lord, that they have been cheated. Lord, they feel like it is not enough. There is such an unhappiness. There's such a heaviness, a sadness. And Lord, where there is a lack of joy, Lord, I pray, oh God, Lord, before any circumstances that change, Lord, open the eyes of their hearts that they will see you and behold you, that they will see that you hold all things together, oh Lord, that Lord, you are with them, that Lord, even as we sing, oh God, that you are more than enough, we pray that we live in that manner. And Lord, I thank you that you are faithful and you are a good shepherd. You don't just say you are a good shepherd, you then go on to say in Psalms 23, how you lead us, how you cause us to lie on green pastures, to lead us beside still waters. You talk about how practically you don't allow us to walk alone, that though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Lord, you speak about how practically you guide us with your rod and your staff. You are a shepherd that follows through with your word. So help us to be sheep that will follow through with our word. And Lord, I thank you, O God, Lord, you don't just give us enough, you give us more than enough. That Lord, you cause us, O God, Lord, to overflow. And Lord, it says that as we follow you and pursue you, it says, surely goodness, mercy, and love shall follow us all the days of our lives. So Lord, help us, oh God, Lord. Help us where circumstances or disappointment or arrogance or achievement and success have stolen us away and distracted us. Lord, help us to return to you, to repent and says, Lord, we come to you and we give our lives for you. And Lord, as we behold this truth, we will live in a freedom that deep in our hearts we so desire. Christ, you are more than enough for me. Christ, you are more than enough for me. Everything that I need is in you. Lord, we love you, we thank you. Even as we go from here, continue to be with us, walk with us in such deep intimacy. Strengthen our hearts, be the joy of our salvation. Open our eyes that as we run this race, give us endurance because we behold you. And Lord, everything this morning and the later this week that you want us to throw that so easily entangles, everything that weighs us down, help us. And Lord, you the good shepherd, help us to remove it day by day. That Lord, we will run this race well, good and faithful. We love you, we thank you. Bless us as we go, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.